It is being reported by Investment News that Morgan Stanley's wealth unit has been caught in an anti-money laundering crossfire. It seems as if the SEC and other federal regulators are reportedly probing the banking giant over its anti-money laundering and client vetting practices. In this episode, we're going to discuss what does money laundering mean? What is this investigation all about? And what does this mean to you as a Christian investor? All this and more on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And it looks like Morgan Stanley's wealth unit is under the regulatory microscope. It seems like multiple federal agencies are scrutinizing their procedure for evaluating the risk of money laundering amongst clients within its extensive wealth management arm. So the first question we need to address is, what is money laundering? Well, basically, money laundering is where you try to hide the original source of the money. Usually, this is because the money is generated from illegal activities, such as drug trafficking. It could be stuff like embezzlement. It could be corruption, illegal gambling, etc. So what makes this bad? Well, what they will do is that they will actually filter the money through a legal business. Just for context, and a brief history of the anti-money laundering regulations in the U.S., it actually expanded from the Bank Secrecy Act, which was passed in 1970, and constitutionally upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1974. Financial institutions were required to report cash deposits of more than $10,000, collect identifiable information of financial account owners, and maintain records of transaction. So think about it this way. Do you remember you used to go into the bank, you used to make a deposit, and let's say about $11,000 or something, or maybe even a withdrawal of $11,000, and the bank teller kind of looks at you kind of crazy, they go into the back, they call their manager. Well, it's okay. Now you understand why. So they need to make this report to the federal government. And a lot of people used to get kind of upset. And I remember I used to work in the banks and people used to get frustrated. I mean, really frustrated. They're like, hey, I'm not a criminal. And the thing was that they weren't necessarily suspicious of the person. They just had a lot of paperwork they had to do. They're like, oh, okay, this is a large transaction. This is not just a $100 withdrawal or a $50 deposit. We have to go make some paperwork. And most of the time, the teller doesn't know how to do it. And this is nothing against tellers in general, but usually have like a lead teller. And then you have some people who may be in their first year or two, and they don't really come across these deposits often. When was the last time you walked in with $11,000 in cash or want to take out $11,000 in cash? Usually this occurs when you're trying to buy a vehicle or you're trying to put a down payment on a house. These larger transactions that are not day to day, they're the ones that have these quote unquote red flags. And we'll talk about red flags and anti-money laundering in a little bit. This is how money laundering pretty much works. They'll gain the money from illegal gambling or drug trafficking. They'll take that money, put it into a financial institute, usually buying what they call layering. And what layering is when you move money from one account to another. So John has illegal money. He deposited it into Jane's account. Maybe she owns a business or two. Jane gives it to Justin. He may have another business. Gives it to Katrina, who may not have a business. Katrina gives it to someone else. And now we're building all these layers. And you add all these different layers up together, and it makes it very difficult to track where this money is actually coming from and if the money is illegal or illegal. And now that this money is in these financial institutions, then those financial institutions loan out that money. And then that money goes out to regular consumers like us for such things like investments, commercial property, real estate, things of that nature. Now we see why it's hard to find out where this money is actually coming from. We see this a lot in drugs, where drug dealers will take money and invest into local businesses like a pizza shop or a dry cleaners, and I'm not picking on them, and they'll filter that drug money through that legitimate business. That's why they say sometimes businesses are funded by drug money. Now, this is where the washing term comes from, because you're taking dirty money, you're washing it, and you're making it clean through a legitimate business. So you may be asking, well, is this why Morgan Stanley's in trouble? Are they into illegal activity? Should I pull my money out? You know, are they into drug trafficking or embezzlement? No, that's not the concern. The concern here is that as a financial institution, they have to do their due diligence in confirming the identities of potential clients and the sources of that wealth. Once again, those red flags. One of my favorite things to say is, if you want to find out who's more likely to be guilty, see who has the greatest benefit. Now, as we step back, we realize that Morgan Stanley, as a financial institute, doesn't care where the money's coming from because they benefit from it being there. So do you really think that they're going to raise red flags when you see a $50 million deposit, a $100 million deposit, or $500 million deposit? Now, these deposits, when you're talking about money laundering, they don't come in a lump sum. You won't find a $50 million deposit that's not going through the ringer. But what you might find is a bunch of $10,000, $50,000, $5,000, $2,000 across the nation coming in day after day, week after week in different accounts. Okay, that's how they're going to confuse you. Nobody's going to walk in with a $500 million. So with that said, regulators are also questioning whether Morgan Stanley keeps a close enough eye on the financial transactions of its clients, with an emphasis on its clients from overseas. And we talked about layering earlier, where clients may send money to an offshore account where regulations may not be as tight as in the US, and then send the money back this way. So how did this all come about? Well, it looks like the SEC, which is the Securities and Exchange Commission, are actually probing into some transactions of former and current clients of Morgan Stanley. And this stemmed from clients that were actually rejected by E-Trade last year for potential red flags of money laundering in 2020, who actually started to do business with Morgan Stanley's financial advisor unit. So basically, they're wondering, okay, well, if there are red flags there with E-Trade, why aren't there red flags with you here with Morgan Stanley? And you may be wondering, well, they're different companies, right? Well, Morgan Stanley did acquire E-Trade, so they're one company now. But I understand there may be some different rules, some different regulations. Some are more strict, some are more loose, right? But there is a benchmark for identifying money laundering activities. It could be something like nervousness when making a deposit. It could be the frequency of the deposit. It could be a high amount of cash that's unaccounted for. It could be not filing taxes or not getting the proper identification. Those things can be red flags when it comes to anti-money laundering. So this is interesting. Now, I wonder where this is going to go, because back when Morgan Stanley actually acquired E-Trade, the CEO was actually pleased with the purchase itself. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman was happy about the acquisition. But this is nothing new in the financial world. When you buy certain companies, they do things a certain way, and you adopt their problems as well as you adopt their profits. And it'll be interesting to see what the SEC comes up with, if Morgan Stanley is going to refine some of their processes and practices, and if that's going to translate into a better experience and reduce the amount of money laundering that is occurring for us. To think that money laundering is not occurring or that they have zero incidents, I think we would be naive to say or to think something like that. So as we wrap up, what does this mean for Christian investors? The first thing is we shouldn't be participating in money laundering. We should also do our due diligence when it comes to business dealings with other people. When we're doing contract work, when we're getting paid for the work that we do, we want to make sure that the person that we're dealing with is generating these assets from a legitimate source. Now, I'm not asking you to go ask them, you know, where did you get this money? But I am asking you to be fully aware of who this person is, what their job is, and how you are contracting that work. The reason being is that you don't want to be caught up in an anti-money laundering lawsuit, because when these individuals have these companies that they are laundering money through, if you are consistently doing business with them, you're going to be on that list of investigations, and you don't want your company or you don't want your assets to be at risk because of what someone else is doing. Two, just because the institute is large and has billions and billions of dollars doesn't mean they're doing the right thing. So you need to do your due diligence as far as choosing the institute you want to work with, the financial advisor you want to work with, and make sure they are acting in your best interest. In the cyber world, it's hard to trust people online, but let's face the facts. Everything is moving online. We do business online, we bank online, we do our scheduling online, we shop at Costco online, we shop at Amazon online. We do a lot of things we used to do in person online. So we have to change our mindset away from the fear of the internet and say, well, I want a brick and mortar. I want to be able to walk into a store and I want to be able to see the person I'm working with. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the reality in the next 10 to 20 years. So you better learn how to build relationships online and build your own system for identifying red flags. Learn to embrace it, but also protect yourself. And finally, seeking the protection of God. When we're thinking about our actions, we have to think about our intent. What are we trying to do? If we're not trying to launder money, if we are a stand-up citizen, if we are a true believer, then we have nothing to worry about. But if you feel like you have some ill intentions, if you feel that you are driven by the love of money, and this is what God has warned us about in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which some men has coveted after and caused some of them to err or to turn away from the faith. So don't let the love of money turn you away from the faith, which is about truth, about justice, and about honesty. Well, I really enjoyed you today. So we talked about what was money laundering and the anti-money laundering rule. We talked about what the Morgan Stanley controversy was all about. We briefly discussed the ethics around doing business online and in person and how the process of money laundering works in the banking system. Well, I've enjoyed my time with you today. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please reach out to us. I'm actually curious to wonder, have you suspected anybody of laundering money? Have you done a deal that you didn't feel good about? And what are you going to do in the future to protect yourself? Well, if you love this episode, make sure that you subscribe and share this episode with your family and friends. If you're looking for a financial advisor, please reach out to us at AB Ridgeway Wealth Management. You can go to our website. You can schedule a consultation. The link is going to be in the description below the show notes. So click it. Let's talk. Let's do business. Well, I am AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.